Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCenter.com.
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. My name is William Kuntz. Welcome back to the show. Today we got Kevin Eckelkamp and Nate Lassinger. Sorry, Nate. These guys are going to attempt to break a world record set by Kevin's uncle. I think it's like 30 years ago now. They're going to canoe down the Mississippi River. Isn't that insane? I'm concerned for them. I didn't want to. When I did the interview with them, they came in and did Stay Woke with Anna and I weeknights at midnight on 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay. I'm amazed by this, but it's also like, what are you doing? That seems like such a crazy thing to do. They don't have any like endurance, you know, training. They, you know, I guess Kevin had did some marathons and stuff like that, and Nate, you know, climbed some mountains and stuff, which that's good, but this is a long journey. This is like 2 weeks just paddling on the Mississippi River. It just seems unfathomable to me. But they're going to come in and talk to us about why they're doing this and how, and you know, what the plan is, what they're doing it for. It was an interesting conversation with those two dudes. You have to be a special human being to even want to try to accomplish something like this. Because I've never had that thrill, that urge to just do something insane like that. I have to have a clean bathroom. If the bathroom's dirty, I'm not going to go inside of it and use it. I'll just hold it. I don't care. But these guys are going to go out in a boat together. Not even a boat, a canoe. And paddle all the way down from Minnesota. All the way, I guess it just drops out into the Gulf of Mexico down here. It's like a 2,000-mile journey. It's insane. Anywho, 813-693-2124. That's a phone number here. You can leave a voice or text message. Hey, I'm really trying to collect funny stories. So if you have some tales from your past, you know, that were really hilarious, I don't care, you know, anybody call in and tell me these. I want to accumulate these and put out a podcast based on just hilarious stories that you have growing up. So leave a message, 813-693-2124. You know what you can also do as well is if you have a long story, you know, don't make it too long. I know storytelling is an art form and not everybody's good at it. But, you know, if it's a little longer, I don't want super short ones either. You know, take your time and tell it correctly. Do your best. That's what I'm saying. Do your best. Sorry. But you can record a voice note on your phone and then you can email that. So if you head over to hmbradio.com, there's a contact page. You can find my email address, which is thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. You can email me that, and I want to accumulate these stories, man. I think it's a good idea, so I'm looking forward to that. If you also want stickers, I still have some. If you email me there, your address, I will send some out in the mail to you free of charge because I love you and I want you to have them. Make sure you follow the show on Facebook, HMB Radio on Facebook, on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at home_made_man and not underscore spelled out, of course, but the underscore, the character underscore. So hopefully that's easy enough to find. So the Boy Scouts are no longer the Boy Scouts anymore. I don't know if you heard about this. You probably did because you're probably up to date on news and stuff. But if you're not, last October, the Boy Scouts made a decision to include girls in their two youngest programs starting in June, which is right around the corner here. That's fine, I guess, right? Sure, whatever. Although I feel like if you want to have your own kind of club and decide who wants to be in it, why would you want to be in a club that doesn't want you? I don't understand this logic, but sure, okay, whatever, you know, let the girls be in the Boy Scouts, whatever. So they're changing their name to Scouts BSA, which means Scouts, Boy Scouts of America. Stupid name, by the way, just change it to Scouts or something. But that made me wonder, you know, well, what's going on with the Girl Scouts, you know? And the Girl Scouts are just the Girl Scouts still, just accepting ladies. The quote from, what's this lady's name? "We are the premier leadership organization for girls. We have been for over 100 years, and we will continue to be. We're going to stay focused on girls and the program and making sure that we are the best that we can be for them." So, so Girl Scouts are still going to have their own private group. Boy Scouts, no longer, though. And this is the thing with this equality stuff, is that it never seems to be equal. It seems to be one's gender or side or whoever getting the short end of the stick. And I'm sorry, but it usually seems to be white dudes who are getting the short end of the stick now. And it doesn't seem to be about equality. It seems to be about revenge. And revenge on people who have nothing to do with any of this stuff. It's just little kids, and you're taking it out on them. They can't have anything now. Just merge the groups together if you really want to do that. But what's the deal, man? It's not fair. What do you think? 813-693-2124. Leave a text or voicemail there. Is this crazy? Am I being crazy? Am I being unfair? I don't think so. I think you're wrong. No, you haven't even told me anything yet. What am I talking about? No, it's cool. It's cool. Sorry. But I do want to know what you think. 813-693-2124. This podcast is brought to you by my friends at Tap House 61, taphouse61.com. Facebook, you can find them at Tap House, the number 6, and the number 1. Wednesday night's trivia night over there. Win Sly, or no, not, geez, Sly Bucks, I almost said. Tap House Bucks, I guess, or certificates to Tap House 61 if you're smart. So you can drink for free, have a great night of entertainment. And I got to talk to Joe about, he wants to do some sort of comedy thing there. So I'm going to try to work something out with him in the next few months, see if we can get some sort of event. I was thinking of doing a live podcast and then doing like a comedy show. I have to figure out how to do this, though, because comedians don't want to give me their stuff, right? And but I want to do a pod. I want to like stream it and everything, you know what I mean? But they don't want to, you know, do their sets and have it go out on air. I don't know who they think is going to listen to it and steal it, but whatever. I understand their point of view as well, so that's fine. But I was thinking maybe I would do the funny stories thing, have like comedians tell a couple funny stories that happened to them, make a podcast out of that, and then to have like a show and whatever. I mean, they don't even have to be comedians, but just people in the community that are, innovative and have influence or whatever. I don't know. I know some people. I do. So we'll put something together. I don't know. Next few weeks. Taphouse61.com, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. And Truvy Salon and Spa. TRUV is in Victory. Y Salon and Spa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Make an appointment online with Chrissy. I got an email. The Botox lady is back again. That's right. Can't get enough of her. So if you got some crow's feet in your face and you want to get them taken care of, well, just stick this poison in there And next thing you know, smooth as a baby's bottom. That's right. So make sure you make an appointment. Truvi Salon and Spa. She can do haircuts and all that stuff, too. She does a fantastic job. So thank you, Chrissy. And go see her and have a great day. All right, let's talk to Kevin and Nate here. They're going to tell me about their journey down the Mississippi that's coming up here this week. They just left, actually, on Friday. And they're heading up there. Take them a few days to get up. And then I think the 10th is when they actually start the journey. It's going to be a two-week journey down the old Mississippi. And I hope they don't die. I'm really nervous for them both because they're both really, really great guys. And it was a fun chat. So here we go. Kevin Echokamp, Nate Lassinger going down the Mississippi River in a canoe. So this is happening now. You guys like are 1 week away. You're driving up as we speak here on a, was it Monday? No, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
And you're leaving next Wednesday, the 9th, to make this thing happen.
Yeah, for the trip. I mean, that's when we're leaving on the Mississippi itself. We'll leave Friday to head towards Minnesota and in our RV.
Yeah, we're going to actually have to load the canoe into the RV. We're going to have to take out the back window and feed it through and put the window back on because we didn't have a trailer and we didn't have a way to get it up there. So we had to get creative.
So how did this start? I know you guys have talked about this a million times, but a lot of people haven't heard this story. So you must be good at telling the story now, at least, I would
hope. We're pros.
We've done it a few times. So it all came to be my uncle back in 1980. Him and KJ Milhone, who's actually going to be on our canoe as well, they had the record for the fastest time to canoe the Mississippi. And when they set the record, that was at 35 days. It's since been broken. Now it's at 18 days, and so we're going to be going for 14. But really, our attention got moved to this record because my uncle passed away this last year. And just, you know, at the funeral, everyone was kind of talking about his legacy and what he was known for. And that was one of the big things outside of kayaking the Amazon River also. But we got to talking about it and thinking, oh, you know, maybe this is something we could do. And just, it just slowly became more and more real. And me and Nate paired up for it. And now we're getting ready to leave.
So what was the process as far as you guys saying, yeah, this is cool. Who approached who or...
So I had actually gotten at the funeral, me and a couple of my cousins had talked about it, and then it put the idea in my head, and I kind of forgot about it for a couple of weeks, and then I don't remember how it came up. I think me and Nate were just sitting at my business, Muddy Water, and we were just talking about a couple of things, and I think it just came up, and I you remember it better than I do, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we had talked about it a couple times, even before his uncle passed away. We had talked about it, and... but it didn't really come into play until afterwards. It was like one night, we were just sitting at the bar and you basically said, we should do it. And I didn't really have any kind of hesitation. I was just like,
I might've
yeah.
partially been joking at the time.
Yeah. I think I'm more of the one that will initiate it to go further than
to become a real
joke.
Thing.
Yeah.
Just talk.
Yeah. So we kind of started right then and there. We just got the computer out and started looking it up and be like, oh, that'd be cool. And we underestimated what the whole trip was going to be.
I mean, it's been so much planning. We've been doing it almost a year now, and that still seems like I could take another year to plan this thing and still leave things out. There's just so many small details that's easy to overlook.
So were you both into, like, you know, endurance training previous to this? Did you, you know, do marathons or something like that?
Not as much as I'd like to admit. But, yeah, I used to do triathlons when I was younger. Nothing too recently, but I like to think that we both stay in some pretty good shape.
Yeah, you're both svelte gentlemen. Yeah.
We
work out.
I mean, I'm originally from Colorado, so I did a lot of outside stuff, you know, from just going and taking hikes to... actually climbing 14ers. I mean, I wasn't like...
What's that?
14ers? It just basically means that I climbed up to 14,000 feet.
Oh, okay. All right. Mountains.
Yeah. So I didn't do it like all the time, but I definitely was an outside
person. We're both outdoor people. I grew up here in St. Pete. We go out fishing all the time, out in the boat, and just love being outdoors.
So how do you train for this canoe ride?
Just canoeing out there. We do most of our paddling out in the Gulf, like right out in the bay, out by kind of Fort DeSoto area.
What's the longest training session you've done? How many miles?
Probably the longest day we had of paddling is when we tried to do the Hillsborough River a couple months back. We weren't expecting it to take this long, but we got out there and so much debris was left uncleared from Hurricane Irma that we had to, pretty much every 25 feet, we had to lift the canoe out of the water over a giant tree or under it and get covered in spiders. But so many spiders. It was just a whole deal. It was a good way to prepare, but it was, what did that take? It was like,
oh, that was an all-day thing. I mean, we started at
it was getting
like
dark,
six in
and
the
we
morning,
had to call for help.
And yeah, by like 5 or 6 o'clock, we were just ending it. Miles wise, I don't know. I mean, we've definitely gone quite a stretch from Bogasiega Bay all the way
we go
to
by the
Skyway and then back and take little detours and everything. We've done like to Fort DeSoto and things like that, which have taken all day trips. Mileage wise, I wouldn't even begin to know. Maybe 40 or 50 is probably around the mileage. So we're not anywhere near prepared for going 2,552 miles.
It's hard for anyone to be prepared to do this. The guys that have the record now even told us, there's like, there's not really any way that you'll truly ever be prepared for this. You know, until you do it. So
it was
we're doing the best we can.
Because right after we got our first boat, we were in the water. And, you know, I was born in Florida, but I wasn't raised in Florida. I was raised in Colorado. So I wasn't used to being in open ocean water. But I was like, hey, Kevin, just so you know, my worst fear of dying is drowning. So this trip, it's definitely testing my limits with that.
Yeah, are you going to wear like a life jacket or something? I guess you probably should.
Yeah, they have these certain type of life vests that are easy to move around.
Basically, a CO2 cartridge. Yeah. It's like an emergency pull string. They puff up real quick. I had to use mine when we flipped not too long ago.
What's your biggest concern other than dying? You know, or what do you think your biggest obstacle will be when you're doing this challenge?
I'm going to be worried about falling behind the record pace. I know we're going to have to stay safe, but it would just kill me to know that, you know, we're at the home stretch and we just might not make it, but I don't think it's going to come down to that.
I think for me it's probably, you know, besides the dying thing, it's probably going to be the energy. We're testing our bodies to an extent that not many people go through that haven't had training months and months on end. So getting, you know, having three people, we're realistically probably only going to be getting about 3 to 4 hours of sleep. The rest of the time, you know, even in our sleep cycle, I might be asleep for an hour and then we hit really bad weather and I have to wake up. So it's definitely going to take a toll on the body. Emotionally and physically, that's going to be my biggest concern because that can change everything. It can change your mood to like your partners and, how you paddle.
Yeah, we might hate each other at the end, but
or be best friends. I would imagine it's going to be either one or the other. I would imagine, though, when you're finished with this thing, you're going to say, hey, that was awesome, but I'll talk to you in a month.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we need some decompression time.
Absolutely, yeah. Being in that canoe with three people, you're really going to know each other intimately. Somebody's going to crap themselves. Somebody's going to, you know, it's just bound to happen. You know,
I'm sure there's going to be all sorts of hijinks. We're going to make sure to have a camera rolling for some of it.
Yeah, what do you do about food and stuff?
So we're going to have a support crew in the RV that's kind of driving down with us the whole time. And we'll just resupply periodically, maybe once a day, maybe once or twice a day. And we'll just meet with them, restock, and then take back off. You know, we'll have a lot of time to just kind of hang out. I'd say probably, if I had to estimate, we might spend about an hour out of the canoe a day. That would be probably
That'd be
the high end of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we really needed to take a break. Yeah. Otherwise, we need to stay in the boat.
What are you taking with you when you get in the boat? There's going to be three dudes, and then what else?
Hopefully, not much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, we each have a backpack that carries our water, and you know, I am one of those type of guys that I'll pack 50 pairs of underwear for a 2-day trip, so I'll probably be stuffing my backpack with our waterproof socks and you know, a couple of compression shirts, snacks in my backpack to just kind of keep moving. And that's
just the
really
bare necessities, we'll
have,
really.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a sleeping bag for us that way for people to sleep in the middle.
How big is a canoe?
18 and a half feet.
Okay. It's a decent size.
Yeah.
You could lay down in there.
Yeah. You know, for someone like me, I'm a
short
guy.
Easy for him.
Yeah, I'm 5'4" and a half. I got to have that extra half in there. But
yeah, I'm 6'1", and the other guy's even taller than me. I think he's probably 6'3".
He's 6'3", yeah. So
he's a big guy, but he can put out some power in the canoe.
So he's going to be helping you paddle as well?
He's actually on the team with us, yeah.
Okay, and is his main job? Because I know you have to, like, journal everything and keep strict notes. And what needs to go on there? Like, your GPS coordinates? Or
everything?
Yeah, we actually, anything. So we have two GPSs that'll spot track us. They'll send a signal every 2 minutes and report where we are. And that'll all be actually trackable live on, we'll put a link on our Facebook page and on our website.
What's your website?
It's riverrecord.us. And that's got links to our Instagram and our Facebook. So you can stay up to date there. But otherwise, yeah, we have to pretty much just detail everything we do. Every time we stop, every time we see something interesting, anything that could be something somewhat informational for Guinness, we got to write it down and record it.
Is this going to be videoed or?
Yeah, we'll have GoPros basically throughout the whole boat from different side angles. Yeah,
we might get maybe, you know, we might do like a time lapse
of
a while. Someone was mentioning that to me the other day of just doing a time lapse of the entire thing, you know, have where it takes a picture every couple minutes, and so that might be something cool that we do, and just put the whole thing together and speed it up and just see the whole river in a video. But we'll see. It might be hard to keep the battery running that long.
Yeah. How long do the batteries last on those things? A couple hours?
Oh man,
we took it on the Hillsborough. It probably was not even, maybe not 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quick. That thing died.
And honestly, you run out of memory space before you run out of battery on those things anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. What about cell phones? Do cell phones even work out there?
Well, supposedly, yeah. I mean, you know, the first couple days, it's still iffy just because, you know, it's not a shipping channel at that point. It's just forest. So there might not be many cell towers around there. Once we get to Minneapolis, when the shipping channel starts, I don't see any kind of problem having cell service out there. So I'm sure my phone and Kevin's phone will be blowing up even throughout the whole trip.
How do you keep your phones charged? Do you get one of those cellular or solar?
Yeah, we got a couple of those chargers. Solar block ones.
Uh-huh.
Not super efficient, though. I got them, and then it said in the instructions it takes 70 hours of direct sunlight to charge it. I was like, all right, that helps.
Well, it's something, I guess. It's just sporadic.
You can also charge it in an outlet, so that's not the only option.
Yeah, but is there going to be outlets that you can plug into?
No, the only battery we'll really have on the boat is the battery that's hooked up to our spotlight. We got that run to a switch on the boat. But other than that, yeah, just we're going to have the block chargers. And hopefully won't really need our phones too much. We'll do a lot of GPS. We'll do a lot of the communication between our support crew.
Mm-hmm. And how old's this other fellow? He's an older guy, right? KJ?
Yeah,
he's 60 or 61.
I think I thought he was 58.
Oh, well, sure.
I think he's still in his 50s.
Somewhere around
late
that
50s.
Region.
So what kind of wisdom has he instilled in you, having done that journey once before? Has he told you any horror stories or tried to, I don't know, sway you maybe from doing
He told
this?
Us how he apparently had wanted to quit a couple times when he was doing it. And my uncle talked him into calming down and then taking a break and rethinking it. But I don't think he'll be in that same mindset on this trip. You know, he's got, like you said, he's got more experience, more wisdom. And he's just going to be a great person to have there guiding us in case we're, you know, second-guessing something.
Yeah, before, you know, before he joined on as a team member, He was talking to us. He actually does like athletic psychology. So he was like, I want to do a test on both of you guys and see where you guys match up and see how you guys go on the trip. And there are pros and cons to it. I mean, he said the pro is that we're very similar. The con is that we're very similar. So yeah,
exactly.
So, you know, if we might hold things in until it just something little snaps and then we might get in an argument. But, you know, he told us a story about how him and Kevin's uncle had gotten to an argument. They had one argument in their whole life, and it was on the river, and it was basically over nothing. But they argued for like 24 hours straight. He's like, it was, I mean, it was perfect. Because they would,
whoever was sitting in the back of the canoe would be the one that was yelling for that shift. And they would just scream at the other person, just pointing out everything wrong with them. And eventually they got out of their system and worked over it. But
they said that they even tried to argue after that just because it passed the time. But they couldn't find anything else to argue about.
Yeah, I imagine it gets to a point where it's just, yeah, you said everything there is to say, and then you still you got bored what, of arguing. 18 more days to go or something?
Yeah.
And then there's just silence for a while. I mean, this is a good opportunity to kind of, have you all ever been just like away from humanity like this for this long?
Not for that long, no. I mean, like I said, I'm from Colorado, so I used to take camping trips, but those were like 4 or 5 day trips. And I could easily within 2 hours be back into civilization. So this is definitely new, I think, for both of us, right?
I think it'll be kind of weird because there'll be times when we're just going through, you know, just nothing in the middle of whatever. And then there's be times when we'll be going through like St. Louis or Minneapolis, and it's just a major city on both sides of the river. So I think it'll be kind of, we'll get a little bit of that both outdoor, kind of in the forest, and then also going through a major city. I think it'll be kind of weird to experience that.
Because you're going, I mean, it's not just a nice, slow trip down the river. The Mississippi is tumultuous at times.
Yep.
And I guess that's even something you really can't prepare for, even if you want it to. Mm-hmm. You don't know what to expect. But is there some places where you know it's going to get rougher than other parts?
Yeah, there's a lake. We'll hit it about day two, right?
Yeah.
It's called Lake Winnebagoche.
No, we'll hit it, should hit it during the first day, but...
Something, yeah, and that has been everyone who's done that lake and everything. They've all said the same thing, that they underestimate how powerful that lake can be with the wake and things like that.
Right.
Only because it's what's the distance radius wise? It was
fine. It's like 88 square miles. Everybody just says that it'll look clear, and then you'll get out in the middle of the lake, and wind and waves will hit, and there's no way to get out of it, and you're just pretty much have to paddle against the wind as hard as you can until you something happens. But yeah, it can be an unforgiving lake, from what we've heard. Hmm.
That's the one that if there's any spot that I'd be worried about, it'd be getting through that one.
And at least that's at the beginning too. So yeah. I mean, that's the roughest part.
Yeah.
A big worry, too, is a lot of these ships that it's a major shipping channel down the Mississippi once you get to Minneapolis. And, you know, they're too slow. They're not going to be able to move out of your way. So it's up to us to stay out of their way. And it gets busy on the river. So that's one of the bigger concerns for us.
And then I would imagine, you know, now it's May, but you're going to be up in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine it's going to be pretty chilly at some points. And even when you come down here, even at night on the water, it's going to be cold. So you're going to be having these extreme temperature differences to deal with throughout the day, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean...
there's still ice on the lakes up there right now.
Yeah, it's going to be cold, especially during the nighttime. You know, whenever we're paddling, someone might accidentally brush the water a little too high and soak the person behind them or whatever, and it's gonna be it's gonna be like cold water, like 30 degree cold water.
I'm not used to that. I was born and raised here in St. Pete, so it's gonna be kind of a shock for me. At least for him, it'll be kind of back to home.
So how I mean, Guinness is gonna be involved in this, right? In some way, right. They're gonna you have potentially the opportunity to be in, you know, in the book,
right? Yeah. Yeah, we'll, I mean, it'll take, it won't be an instant thing. Like, we won't complete it and say we broke it in 14 days. We're not going to just automatically be considered the new world record holders.
It'll
we
probably
have to
take
send,
a few months.
Yeah, we'll have to send in a lot of info, and then once they get back to us to say that they've completed all the paperwork, and then we'll get the certificate of actually being in the books.
So there are people that have actually tried this, and Guinness has rejected their attempt. Whether or not they just didn't break the record or didn't have enough evidence or they found out they cheated somehow, Guinness has rejected people for this. So we're going to have to really make sure we do our due diligence and cover all our bases.
Mm-hmm. And what? So they just told you you have to chronicle everything. You got to have the GPS now. That seems like pretty reasonable.
You got to have a lot of witness statements. Have anybody you come across sign something and say, "Hey, I saw them here on this day, and I can verify that." And then they give us their number, and Guinness will call them.
Yeah, I mean, even from that third grade class that's going to be watching us on the day that we take off for their school, we'll have them sign paperwork to. Say that they were witnesses to seeing us take off at that exact time. So anything really, I mean, from pictures to videos, we have to have throughout the whole day.
Right. To even this podcast, these things like this, it really just helps to verify with them that we're actually doing something that's real and we're not just trying to cheat a record.
Mm-hmm. And what's I know there's more of the story too behind this. I mean, you're donating a portion of the proceeds that you're going to, take in to, what is it, the American Cancer Society?
Yeah, the American Heart Association.
Heart Association.
Yeah, because, Kevin's uncle passing away last year from a heart attack, and my son having a heart transplant at 3 weeks old.
Seemed like a good organization that related to the both of us in some way.
So 10% of whatever donations we get, even from when we started this to even after the whole course, I mean, we'll be taking that and taking 10% of it and donating. And if there's more to give, then we'll happily
do that.
And
our GoFundMe is linked to our Facebook and the website as well.
Which is, say one more time,
riverrecord.us. And on Facebook, it's Mississippi River Expedition.
Yeah, just look up Mississippi River Expedition on that and you'll find
us. See a picture of me and Nate.
So how do your girlfriends react to this? Are you guys heading out? And your family, how do they feel about it?
Well, I don't have a girlfriend, but Kevin's...
Tender subject.
Oh, no. Was it recent?
No. I've been single for a very long time.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, what about, your family, too, for that matter?
Oh, man, my mom is terrified. Yeah, I had
naturally
to deal
the
with
moms.
The crying on Sunday for her last time seeing me. So I had to deal with that. My dad and me, we were just, typical male.
Tender moment.
No, it was typical
luck,
male
buddy.
Thing. Like, hey, have a good one.
Yeah,
see you later.
See you around. Yeah.
That's what I like.
What about you, Kev?
I don't think my girlfriend's is, I don't know. I don't know if it's a real reality to her yet that I'm going to be leaving. I think once I'm actually gone, she'll be extremely worried, but she knows I'll be all right. She believes in me, I hope.
And your folks are okay with this too?
They are because they're going to be on the support crew.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, my parents are the ones that have the RV. They're going to drive with us. So I think because of the fact that my mom can keep tabs on me and know that I'm okay every day is why they're much more okay with this.
Mm-hmm. And they're a huge backing. I mean, they have helped us throughout everything. So I just want to, say thanks to them for being a part of this whole thing as much as they
have. Yeah, it really wouldn't have been possible without all the help that we've gotten from everybody. It's not something that you can do alone. This is definitely a multi-person effort. So then we have an Instagram and a Facebook, and we should be going live if we have reception. We'll be going live on Facebook while on the river, posting pictures, posting updates, and then, like I said, the link to be able to track us live will be on Facebook as well. So everyone will be able to stay updated on where we're at.
Yeah, and just to kind of reiterate on what Kevin was saying about having help and everything, I do want to mention that a couple of our sponsors, like Bending Branches, who, they were our first sponsor to give us paddles and believe in us. So I want to go ahead and
they gave us the chance.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of gave us a little bit more motivation for it. And everyone who's donated, whether they know us or not, we do appreciate it. It has helped significantly for everything.
All right, boys, good luck to you. It's a hell of a
appreciate
journey.
It.
Oh, do you have any more? So when you get done with this, are you already planning your next extreme adventure? Or you think you're going to take a break for a while?
Well, I mean...
We'll see.
We'll see what happens. But, you know, we've kind of talked about maybe doing Alaska eventually.
Yeah. My uncle
with the canoe? In the canoe still?
Yeah, probably. My uncle had done... They did the Amazon River, and they were trying to set a record on that one. So who knows? Maybe that's on the horizon,
that's
but that's a little more dangerous.
That would be a brutal one. That's just where, you know, you get poked by some thorn.
It was
and
brutal
you
for them.
Yeah, that's a story in itself.
No doubt. All right, boys, good luck.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
All right, good luck, boys. Be thinking about you. Riverrecord.us is the website if you want to contribute to that journey. Keep up with their track, if they're on time, if they're lagging behind. I feel really bad. Oh, man, what if they make it, they break the record? Well, they don't really break the record, but they're like minute short or something like that. I don't want to think about it. Good luck, boys. I won't jinx you anymore. This has been the Homemade Broadcast here on Radio St. Pete, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Get your stickers. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiostpete.com. Visit my website, hmbradio.com. You can catch up with podcasts. Been writing blog posts and stuff, so you can keep up with me there. Stuff that you don't hear on the show. So make sure you check it out. Tell a friend, would you? That'd be great. Word of mouth is always the best form of advertising. Make sure you catch Stay Woke with Anna Hummel and myself every weeknight at midnight on 102.5 The Bone if you're here in Tampa Bay. And if you don't live here and still want to listen, well, you just head over to theboneonline.com. You can check it out. It's always nice to be a part of such a great lineup over there. And good to be here, too. So check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/HMB Radio. Give it a like. Follow me on Twitter. I'm pretty active on Twitter, so happy to talk with you. Home_made_man. And same thing on Instagram. Make sure you follow Radio St. Pete as well. Just Radio STPETE on all platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. They're pretty active on all those as well. And I don't know if you saw the website, but website looks great. My friend Susie totally revamped the RadioSt.Pete.com website. It looks fantastic. So you should stop by there. So many things to do. I know I'm giving you homework assignments, for God's sakes. If you're listening on RadioSt.Pete.com, stay tuned, because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next. Indie Circuit after that. If you're listening on podcast, hey, I certainly appreciate that. Make sure you tell a friend. Let me give you some stickers. Visit hmbradio.com. Thanks, Tap House 61. Thanks, Truvy Salon and Spa. And check out homemadepodcast.com. If you're interested in starting a podcast, I can help. homemadepodcasts.com. My name is Will Koontz. This has been the Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Have a great week. Talk to you later.